On the line now I have Dr. Catherine Bates. Hello, Catherine. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Noel. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Now we're going to talk about 10 years of celebrations with the DOT students, learning with communities. It's a great innovative initiative indeed. So obviously successful, obviously.
Yeah, we're delighted with how it really has become part of our core business in DIT. We've got roughly one in three of our full-time undergraduate programs link students with community partners to do projects that benefit the students in terms of helping them to learn more effectively and to learn more with people on the ground in the real world, and also then supporting the community organizations they're working with to achieve their goals in the process as well. So it's a fantastic way of working. It's one that's got sort of international precedent. There's a whole community of people doing this kind of work around the world in higher education, and we're just delighted that it's been so effective and so successful, and so many colleagues have got involved across DIT and so many students. And we've had 10,000 students over the last 10 years, and also then our community partners. We couldn't do this without them either, which is just fantastic. So all the projects are based in the students' coursework, so it's part of what they're learning. It's assessed, it's supervised by their lecturers, and then the projects are designed to respond to ideas and questions that we've collected from community organisations we work with, and to then allow everybody working together to basically produce new knowledge and deliver hopefully change in society, working to improve things for the better.
Oh, and what way does the process work in selection of students and the people that are going to be working with? How does the process work?
Yeah, so it's quite varied, and it really depends on each individual lecturer and each individual module that these projects take place on. So we'd have students working right the way from first year undergraduate all the way up to and including PhD projects that have been collaboratively designed with communities. So our office would meet and collect ideas from community partners for projects they'd like students to work on in all different areas. I mean, in DIT we have everything from kind of art and design to business to science to engineering, and so we have a whole range of different project ideas. So we go and do a brainstorm with community organisations effectively, and we come up with lots of ideas, and then we come back into DIT and we would share those ideas then with lecturers who we know are interested in this area of work, and who would have, you know, courses and modules and projects that they would have students working on. And we then support them, we introduce them to the community partners. Some lecturers, of course, have their own contact with community organisations, and we don't necessarily even need to be involved in that if it's not needed. Mm-hmm. And they just work away with those community organisations, and we support that process in the background. But with lecturers who don't maybe have a contact or who don't have a contact with an organisation that's relevant to the discipline that they're teaching, we would then set up a meeting, we introduce them to each other, we sort of look at what can the students that they have do at their level of studies, what are they capable of doing, what amount of time is there to put into this, and then we look at what the community partner is trying to achieve, and we sort of match the goals of the lecturer for their students in terms of their learning with what the community is trying to do. And so then the lecturer will involve some or all of their students. In some cases, it might be a big full class of students, and all of the students will work on a project with a community partner. In some cases, you'd have one big class, and maybe they might work on six or seven different projects with different community partners. And then in other cases, it might be a single final year student who has heard about this way of working and thinks, yeah, I want to do my project, my major project, or my thesis, mm-hmm. On a real life project with the community organisation. And so in that case, there's an application process they go through, and then we introduce them to the community partner along with their lecturer. So it varies really depending on the project.
Yeah, so it would happen that like the students match to what he's learning and maybe what he wants to go on with his career. But also,
exactly.
would it happen, Catherine, that some of the students would go out and maybe change their path from what they've learned, maybe with the different communities?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So what we find is that sometimes students can, you know, you take a particular course of study because you think that's what I want to do, that's what I want to be. But then you can be, you know, studying within that. There's lots of subjects that you have to study, and some of which maybe the relevance is less clear as a first-year student. Like, why am I studying that particular thing when I'm here to do this? But actually, they all are needed to make you a fully well-rounded and equipped person when you leave to go out into the workplace and into society. And so with these kind of projects, it can really pull learning together together from different subjects, because the students suddenly realize, oh, I need to actually deliver on this for this organization I'm working with. And so I might need a bit of that subject and a bit of this subject and a bit of the other subject. So that can be a really good way of enhancing their learning. And then, as you said, then for some students, it can be quite transformative. So we have had students who have had experiences where it has sort of potentially raised their awareness of career paths that maybe they hadn't even thought about before. And there was one student in particular in chemistry who worked with an organisation called Wells for Zoe, and they work there, an Irish and Malawian based charity, and they work on a number of sort of development projects in Malawi, from everything from in sort of early childcare to putting in wells and providing clean water for people. And this student went and did a work placement in Malawi, looking at, you know, how could, I suppose, chemistry knowledge be applied there. So doing things like soil testing and also then looking at learning and teaching activities related to chemistry that schools there potentially could use with limited resources, like experiments and practical activities. And then based on his experience there, he then went on to do a master's and has recently then started a PhD research in the area of you know, sustainability in water, and so that for that student has, you know, opened up a whole new career path that maybe they mightn't have thought of before. So we have some really nice examples like that where these kind of projects have really been have had a huge impact on the students. And then I suppose the flip side of it also is that you can have this engagement can have a huge impact on some of the people we would work with in communities. So if you think about it, a lot of the communities we work with, we prioritize underserved communities. And so they might be charities, or they might be youth clubs in disadvantaged areas, or they might be schools, or they might be a whole range of organizations. And so for some of the maybe young people, for example, in the youth clubs that we work with, they may not know anyone who's been to college. And so college might not be even on their horizon. And yet when they get involved with DIT students on a project, so for example, we've had, you know, students have gone in and done things around, for example, nutrition. So, you know, what kind of things are students or are young people interested in relation to nutrition? And so one of the groups they looked at working with a group of girls around healthy eating in a youth club. And so what happened there then, so what can happen there is that the girls meet the students, the DIT students, and they realize, oh, actually, you know, they're not that different from me. College sounds kind of interesting. This is the kind of thing you could be working on if you went to college. And so then there's sort of that, again, horizons can open up as well for people in the communities as well as for our students. So it really is very mutually beneficial, you know. There's benefit for everybody involved in these projects, which is fantastic. There's not many things you can say that about.
Well, you've answered a question I was going to ask, because it is a very innovative program. There's no doubt about it. And I was going to say, can it be a two-way street as far as the education goes? But that's answered that, because they're both learning from each other. And is there a...
Exactly. And that's... Yeah, sorry. Go on.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, I was going to say, is there a time frame involved in the amount of time, or does it just depend on which way the student, what they select themselves? Like you were talking about the person going to Malawi and that. So, I mean, that to me, I imagine that would be a you know, a good lot of time spent there. So does it vary with the time spent on it?
Yeah, absolutely, it does. And it can vary from really small, short little interventions to really substantial multi-year projects. So, for example, you know, we've had a PhD student, for example, working with Enable Ireland to look at the issue of how can you develop a process to involve end users in the design of technology to support them. And so they would have worked with people with disabilities around, you know, what's a useful process to engage people's expertise who actually use the kind of technology that they, you know, that they need to support them in their daily living. And then also, how can you use that process to design really effective tools to support them? So that was, you know, that was a three-year project. In fact, it may even have been slightly more than 3 years. And on the other hand, you might have a project with, I mean, for example, that nutrition project I mentioned, where you have a students, a small group of students, and they would go in once to a community organization to see what are they interested in about nutrition and give them maybe some general information. Then they go away and they take the input that they've got, they take the ideas, they look at the ideas that people have suggested to them in the organization, and then they they go away and they produce materials and resources, and they go back in for a second visit where they do sort of activities with them and engage them and give them the resources that will be useful to them. And that's it. It's just two visits. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that can be just a really, really short piece of work. And yet those very short inputs can also be really effective, because it's about how you design the project. And if you design the project to really fit the time available, the level of knowledge of the students, where the community partner is at and the kind of time that they have to contribute as well, and what they're trying to achieve. If we can design the project to really sit right in the middle of all those different things, then you can have a really effective project, even if it literally only involves maybe 2 1-hour meetings. So it really varies, as you say, depending on the project.
Okay, and from the beginning, Catherine, I imagine that from its inauguration 10 years ago, the protocol has changed and evolved over the 10 years and still evolves.
Yeah, I think we're learning the whole time. I mean, you know, we've been doing this for 10 years, but as you say, I wouldn't in any way describe ourselves as experts yet. I don't think we'd ever get to a point where we would describe ourselves as having proper expertise in this. But I think what we have learned is an awful lot about how to support relationships, how to support collaborations, and the kind of things that we need to put in place. So for example, when we first would have met to set up projects in our first year, we were saying, oh, this is great, you want to work together, let's sit down, let's talk about what you want to do, and then let's agree it, and then we're here to support you afterwards. But we didn't have any kind of, I suppose, paperwork. We didn't ask anybody to sign anything. We thought, no, that would be getting in the way of the organic relationships growing. But then we actually found out that, you know what, people like to have something that mm-hmm. has been kind of filled out, and they can see, okay, this is the next stage and this is what's going to happen next, and then that's going to happen, this is the final date by which everything's going to be agreed, and have everything kind of in one place written down just to refer to. So we developed very simple forms that we would use, for example, with people when they're starting a project, and it's just a timeline agreement form. It's basically what's going to happen when, and you know, and then we all sign off on that, and so on. So things like that even seem like really kind of simple and maybe even a bit boring are actually part of the infrastructure that you mm-hmm. need to really support these projects and working well together. So yeah, we've learned a lot as we've gone along, sometimes through mistakes and sometimes through thinking things through and thinking, oh yeah, actually, you know, it would make more sense to do it this way, or that might be a better way to do that. Mm-hmm. And people have been great at giving us feedback as well, because we sort of name it as very much we're all in a learning environment and we're all learning together. It's great because people are much more inclined to give you feedback, because they know you won't see it as a criticism. Okay. You know, if people have suggestions on how we can improve what we do.
It's absolutely fantastic. That sounds great. But as you know yourself, student life is completely different from working life. So as well as learning the stuff that they do learn, they're also learning integration, working with people, social studies as well. Everything is evolved in there for laying the yeah. future.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we sort of frame it as the sort of three dimensions of learning. There's the personal learning, which is to get to learn about themselves in a way that complements the kind of more maybe, you know, lab-based or library-based or classroom-based projects. They get to learn about themselves in different contexts as learners. The students also get to learn then about their discipline in terms of not just in a theoretical way, but in an applied way. They're going mm-hmm. out there and they're seeing, well, how does this work in the real world? And then they're also learning about society. And that's really important as well, because, you know, we're talking about the next generation of professionals and colleagues and workers and managers. And those people need to have an understanding of not just one part of society, but the whole of society, and how their role and responsibility in society can have an impact on lots of different people, and how they can really, you know, be aware of that. So, I mean, again, if we're thinking about something like, so say there's a computing project that runs where the computer students work with people who have intellectual disabilities to look at, you know, how the students might how they can collaboratively design mm-hmm. more effective assistive technology applications. With that project, what you have now is a cohort of students and graduates coming out of DIT who actually have sat down and worked with people for whom sort of mainstream technology might be quite challenging, and have a much better understanding through the collaboration and through learning with them of actually this is how you can do simple things around universal design, around making design more accessible to everybody. And that's really important, you know, that mm-hmm. that the students are developing this kind of knowledge and having this kind of experience and maybe working with societal groups they haven't had a chance to work with before. And so, as I say, you know, we couldn't do that without the lecturers who get involved in these projects and community partners who are willing to support us.
Have you been involved with this, Catherine, from day one?
I have actually, yes.
Okay.
And it's a huge privilege. Yeah, it's just been a hugely interesting role.
Well, I have to say, I have to say that, you know, and I always say it when I hear someone like yourself and I interview them, that your enthusiasm is a great jumping board, maybe I can use. And the students must, you must transmit that enthusiasm into the students, and it's absolutely terrific to hear you talking as if it was the first time. You think it was the first year, actually, listen to the enthusiasm in your voice. It's great.
Yeah, I suppose we're so lucky because it's just, as I say, everybody benefits out of these projects. And we know that because, you know, community partners come back wanting to work again the following year. And, you know, students who've done a project at their undergraduate level might come back and want to do a project at their at postgraduate level. And lecturers come back and run projects year after year. So we're in a really lucky position where we're supporting things where everybody feels the benefit of them. And that's not to say there aren't challenges along the way. And, mm-hmm. and you know, collaboration is always challenging, but in a good way. And so, yeah, I just feel really lucky to be involved in such a very positive project and such a very positive way of working for everybody involved.
Yeah, and I imagine, Catherine, a lot of the students, when they come through the whole process and finish with college and go off and do whatever they're doing, if they're lucky enough to maybe to be a manager or the boss of somewhere, that they will carry this project in their own business in some way, because they can see the benefits of getting people out there and learning about the subject that they're dealing with.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's not just an isolated thing either. I mean, there is, if you look at what's happening across Europe in terms of research, there's more and more emphasis being put on the idea of you get better research if you do it in collaboration with a wide group of people. If you're just a researcher in a lab working on your own, there's a limited amount of what you can achieve. If you're involved with, you know, community organizations, with business organizations, with you know, with people from a whole load of different areas, mm-hmm. you get better research outputs. And that's a big push at a European level as well, is to do what's being called responsible research and innovation. So, you know, students leaving here who've done these kind of projects, hopefully they have acquired skills around collaboration, and they have also acquired a belief, and this is a really important bit, because the skills you can sort of, you know, acquire as you go, but a belief that actually you get better work done, you get better research done by collaborating with a wide variety of people, because you're pulling more knowledge into the room. And when you've got that much knowledge in the room, you're going to create exciting new knowledge as well. So, you know, we're talking about it from an education point of view and what do the students learn, but it has a much wider application, because this is how we're going to solve ultimately mm-hmm. the big problems in society that we're all facing at the moment, is by collaborating together. So that's such an important part of the process.
Okay, it's pity we couldn't get that, just get that sort of enthusiasm and also that collaboration among our politicians as well. Maybe a lot more problems. So, listen, it's been great talking to you, and congratulations on it. And I hope to be talking to you, not to wait another 10 years to talk to you. And if you have anything at all coming up that you need to get out there, don't hesitate to give us a call, an email, and let us know. And it was really wonderful talking to you. It's great to hear the enthusiasm.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much, Catherine.
Really
Thank
appreciate
you. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Isn't it great to have teachers like that? Isn't it absolutely terrific? Dr. Catherine Bates there. Terrific there about that. 10 years of that project.